You're writing your life story.
You bet I am.
Am I in it?
You just entered.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another movie podcast bonus episode. This is the bonus episode for December 2016. I am Oscar, and with me today, along state lines, is
Luke
and
Raphael.
And today's bonus episode will consist of a Star Galaxy Far, Far Away type adventure. A Star Wars story, Rogue One. Still in theaters right now. Still will be in theaters for probably a bit, honestly, until it stops making money. So without further ado, I'm just going to get started on this bonus episode. I'm going to go straight to it. We'll give all the information at the end of the show. And if you're with us, this is our fourth bonus, so you know how it feels like by now. And here's a description for Rogue One. The Rebel Alliance makes a risky move to steal the plans for the Death Star, setting up the epic saga to follow. Nice. And this stars Felicity Jones, Diego Luna, Alan Tudyk, Donnie Yen, Wayne Jiang, Ben Mendelsohn, Guy Henry, Forrest Whitaker, Riz Ahmed, Mads Mikkelsen, Jimmy Smits. A lot of people are in this movie, guys. So, I guess we're going to start with the biggest geek here, Raph, between all of us. And you know who that is, right?
Well, it's not the one in the room.
No, it's not the one in the room. I think it's Luke.
Of course. The guy far, far away.
Right. You are the biggest Star Wars fan I know personally, Luke, which is, I guess, a good thing or a consolation. It's a good thing, right? And, since you are an unabashed fan, you love this stuff. So what did you think? How did you feel about Rogue One?
I love the living shit out of it. 11 out of 10. Would see again.
Have you seen it more than once?
I wish.
You wish. Before I should have said this at the top. I always forget this when we do long distance podcasts. But if there's like a slight like delay, it's because you know I'm waiting for his response. And there you go for the podcast listeners. How do you feel about this one in context with the other films and in this you know in the vein of Star Wars Adventure Time? You know,
I really much enjoyed it. I felt it's you know even though it's not a Star Wars trilogy of its own sort, it brings a whole new perspective to the expanded universe and you know and everything else that happens in the Star Wars universe.
Right. Yeah. How about you, Ralph?
I think it does a great job of setting up episode four so beautifully.
Quite directly too,
yeah. But it's what Luke said. It gives you kind of a different perspective of the original trilogy. Seeing this happen, obviously, this looks a lot prettier than those other movies, but that's besides the point.
Just as dirty, though.
Yeah.
A lot of dirt in this movie, which is good. It makes the worlds feel really lived in a good way. Nothing sure. Sheen or sparkly.
Right.
No Jar Jar Binks.
Right. No Jar Jar Binks. What I was hearing people were saying, like, we're going to see Jar Jar in this movie. Someone said that to me. Obviously, we didn't. Because of, like, come on. I do want to say though that this is a difficult movie to do because they have to be different enough where it doesn't feel like part of the trilogies, not just taking out the Skywalker name from it, but like in general, right? They basically stay away from the Force for the good chunk, you know, stuff like that. They have to do that, but make it also feel like it's from the universe of Star Wars. And I think it's probably the biggest asset of this film is that it does that. Even if it doesn't do it 100% of the time, it does it surely by the end, and for many people, the ending is what makes this movie. And for me too, like the movie, I liked it progressively more as the minutes rolled on. So the worst part really was the beginning for me. The opening that was kind of cool, but like there were moments. My biggest problems are more in the first half than the second half. And the second half becomes this like heist combinational with war, like a wartime, like we have wars today. It feels very, it's the closest to wars of Star Wars I've ever seen. And they also combine action and stuff like that and a little drama and stuff. And yeah, so I liked it progressively more. Is that how you guys feel? Something similar to that? Or you guys love it all the way around or what?
I'll go first. Yeah, I first thought the beginning was kind of really weird because it kept switching from place to place.
Yeah, we see like 17 planets, I think.
Right. And normally, you know, with the other Star Wars movies, it was, you know, you were shown one place, follow through, go to the next place, follow through, and whatnot. So that was like, they showed a whole lot in a very short amount of time.
Right, exactly. How about you, Ruff?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I would say the second half better, just because of what, you know, the ball gets rolling, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to get your bearings straight with this phone. It's also like learning a lot of characters. So you're not only you're learning all these new places that you're going into, you're learning all these new characters as well, because every new place has a new character. So you're just like, oh, okay, we're going to come back to this place. Maybe, okay, we're going to go here, maybe, you know. So it is a little overwhelming. But other than that, I mean, yeah, you guys hit it up pretty good.
Also, on a side note, a little bit, what do you guys think about, because when we first heard that we're going to get a Star Wars movie for the rest of our lives, did you guys feel like, you know how people were saying, like, we can make a film noir set in Alderaan, we can make a crime thriller set in some other planet, we can make Tatooine a love story, like, they can do anything they want, right? The universe is open to them. Do we think that sticking so close to the actual trilogies, because this is not, I mean, this is a different story, different people, I mean, spoiler alert, they all fucking die at the end, but, like, is it different enough, like, where you think, like, we can get stories that have nothing to do with the rebels and the you know, not the force itself, but, like, this political aspect of war and not communism, but whatever the fleet's doing, you know, the empire. Fuck, I couldn't think of the word. Well, do you guys feel like it's sticking too close to that, or is it playing it safe? Do we want to see something where it branches so out there on a different story altogether? Do we want to see that kind of thing?
Well,
go ahead.
I think we're going to get that with the next movie, because that one's going to be more based on Han Solo and, you know, anything he did before the trilogy.
Yeah, that is true. I would say that is cool, and Han Solo is clearly the most charismatic of probably all the Star Wars figures, you know, I would say. He's a plucky, you know, smuggler. You know, he reminds me of the Uncharted guy. What's his name?
Nathan Drake,
yeah. Reminds you a little bit of that in space. No, I like him. I'm curious to see how it'll turn out. I can't say for sure, because I think they'll want to so badly connect it to his older life, meaning Skywalkers and shit like that. But I don't know. We'll see. It was just a question that I just thought of.
Well, the way I see it is what's called, you have to kind of keep it close to home right now. You can't just go and be like, oh, well, we're going to make something that has nothing to do with Star Wars or what we know of Star Wars, right? But you also can't get away from the Federation, and you can't get away from the Rebels. They're a part of everything that's happening in the galaxy. So whether you have a story on the Outer Rims, and even if it's just a story there, they're still hearing about, you know, the Rebels and the Alliance going on.
Right, and we do too, Ralph. Right. But we also are not involved into any of those.
Sure. But what I was trying to say, like, you could, important. I mean, you could totally still make a story later on with the Rebels, or with nothing to do with the Rebels, or, you know, what to call the Alliance. But at the same time, you still have to mention that they're there, you know? They're still affecting the galaxy somehow.
True. Do you want something like that, Luke?
I don't know. I'm kind of really happy with what I got, so...
No, I mean, yeah, I think we're all happy. These new movies have proved to be pretty good and entertaining. That's the one thing I will never take away from these last two films. Last year's episode... What was it? 7, sorry. I almost had 6 again, but no. Yeah, it's at the very least entertaining. I may have problems with it, and I have problems with this one. And, like, some, for example, let's start getting to the more of the movie, I guess. I have... a general problem with some of the motivations that drive these people, the crew, the ragtag team, you know, because every movie has a ragtag team. The original trilogy has those original three. I mean, the original people that we know. And the, I'm sorry to say, the Lucas other trilogy has his own ragtag team, you know. And the new one, you know, has Rey, has the Stormtrooper, I forget his name, Finn, has that great rebel pilot, right? It has, they have their own team, BB-8. This one has their own, too. And while I'm not saying that they're terrible, and even that their android, whatever his name was, is really good and funny.
K2SO?
Yeah, thank you. He was like a scene stealer, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you guys remember how in Clerks, Kevin Smith wrote down all the best comedic lines for his own role, but he couldn't do it, so he gave it to Randy. And that's why Randy has all the best lines. It's like that. They gave all the best lines to one thing. Yeah, so as fun as it was, and I don't really have huge problems with it, I do feel like this is probably the worst of all the team, you know, the teaming up adventure stories of all the Star Wars. How do you guys feel about that? Because I felt like, what's her name? Felicity Jones's character, the main character. I felt like she was either downplayed or she played it like a little too guarded for someone who would do all this stuff. I wasn't really convinced that she would go that far. Or that she would trust these people in such a short amount of time.
Well, I think the movie, I agree with you here, because I think the movie where it faults is the fact that Felicity Jones's backstory, the lack of it. You get this amazing beginning, and you're like, okay, that's as much backstory as you need for this character. Everything that happened in between is just like, meh. Like, she was on the run. That's it. You know, and that's what it feels like. Comparing it to the original trilogy, you get Luke's backstory fucking there everywhere, right? And most of his backstory is still hidden because you get throughout the rest of the movies, right? But at the same time, you still do get a backstory. And then a bounty hunter is a bounty hunter who you also get a story throughout the next movies. And Princess Leia is the leader of the Rebellion Empire, you know, of the Rebellion. So that's all you need to know about those. They're easy enough to just kind of explain. So this ragtag group that does just kind of band together works great for that original trilogy. And this one, our main heroine, we just don't know enough about her or her motivations, and that's where it falls. I think you get a good motivation for Diego Luna's character, especially later in the movie. They just explain a little bit more.
Are you talking about the second act or by the end?
But no, by the second act. Second okay. act. By the end, I think we know everybody's, like, going forward. And then... it is a little bit weaker also with Danny Yen,
who I love, and he did some great stuff in it as the blind warrior who
sure
is not who's like is not one with the like, force per se, but he's like attuned with it in
he's
a different
attuned,
way
attuned to the force yeah
in a different
and,
way.
And they bring yeah. that in, and I think in some of the other shows, I think Rebels, Star Wars Rebels, they bring that in, and maybe books where there's force attuned people who like know that exists, know that it's there, can like feel it, but can't really control it. Hmm. So he does know how to work with it, you know, sort of. And it just kind of does feel like they just kind of tack on, but it still works. The character still works for me, right? It's just that I think our main heroine wasn't given enough for me, Eddie's, and that's where the team doesn't feel like the motivation just isn't there as much as it should be. Besides the fact that it's a father.
How about you, Luke? What do you think?
About
the team itself, the assembly, the people, like the motivations behind them, how it all assembled.
So the motivation, yeah, definitely agree. It's very lackluster, especially for, Jyn Erso? Because it's like, oh, her parents were taken away, her mom was killed. Pops is, you know, forced to work at the Death Star, so.
Right.
And aside for her being in such like a rebel alliance, or like a... in the rebellion since birth, essentially, there's not much motivation in there. So, aside from like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna try to maybe find my pops again, and we don't know how that's gonna end up in any movie.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I actually have a problem with Diego Luna's character in the second act. You know, when he is almost assassinating Mads Mikkelsen. Like, I feel like by the time he was getting his weapon, he was going to go... They were on the planet already, and he was going to go set up his sniping position. Like, the whole time, getting there and then finally not doing it. Like, that whole thing... Like, I thought he was already convinced not to do it. I don't understand why he even went halfway, half-assed into something where he could have been doing something else to save or help out... was it Riley? What's her name?
Who? Jyn Erso?
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, I'm terrible with names. Anyway, yeah.
Okay, so were you convinced that it was? Were you convinced that it was? He was already convinced to not do it, or was it the fact that you thought that he wasn't convinced, like yet?
No, I think he was convinced already. It seemed to me like he was already buying it. Like, Yeah, I didn't really get it. Because also, like, the idea of this guy who is a, like a, not like a rebel leader, but he's part of the rebels. He's following orders. I get that part, too, that point also. But he's also, and we see him first, like, killing an asset for no good reason because all other, because he'll give information. Like, he didn't seem like, he seemed like a rule bender and breaker. Like, I feel like he would have never have done it. So why even pretend to put him in a sniping position to do it? I don't know.
Oh, I actually didn't see it that way. I saw it more like he still was conflicted because we saw him already earlier in that scene that you said to yourself where we get introduced to this character of him killing. So he makes sure that, because that's his mission. He can't let, you know, information slip by or whatever. And that's unfortunately, that's the shitty part of his job, right? And that's kind of where the third act happens when they all join up later. Where they have all done shitty things. And I just think he feels like he finally doesn't need to do something, even though he is disobeying direct command. That's why I think it's still him, like, fighting at it or tugging at it. He takes it just because he wants to force himself to do it, even though he knows he's not going to do it. You get me? So, do you get me where I'm saying there?
Yeah, I just don't think I bought it either, even so. Like, I know what they were trying to do. I just, maybe it was a case of me knowing too much as the audience that, you know, he's doing it wrong. He shouldn't be doing this. He should just believe it because we saw the opening. We saw Mads Mikkelsen being this, you know, amazing engineer, great mind, the scientific mind to build this Death Star, and that he would build a flaw into it, which is totally retro, you know, fix a problem from before. You know, I get that. I just think I knew too much, maybe, and that was a problem. Like, the delivery wasn't sold on me, and maybe that was it. I don't know, but...
How do you feel, Luke?
I mean, I just think that they were just trying to add depth to a character, and, I mean, it was a pretty cliche way to go about it, is to have him have that hesitation or that moment, you know.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with the cliche part of it, but, you know, at the same time, I think it's, like, I'd rather have it than not have it.
No, I understand, yeah.
I get it.
I'd rather take it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to see that struggle. I just wish maybe it was done better. I don't know what. So let's move on to the action itself. What do we think of it? Now, this is directed by the man who did the latest Godzilla film.
Gojira.
Gojira. He did Monsters, which is, I think, his opening breakthrough movie. So what do we think that... I think his name is Gareth Edwards. I'm not 100%. What do we think of his technique about action... the way he portrayed action in this movie, because, you know, this is an adventure movie. It's got to be explosions, it's got to be flying, it's got to be tension. How do you think it worked here? Because it is different from the other movies. So how do we feel about it?
I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was that much over the top. I thought it was very, it wasn't like a Phantom Menace where everything was like super choreographed and shiny and, you know, everything had to be precise.
Thank God.
Right? This one was kind of like grittier and it had the action when it had to have the action. Not just, hey, you know, let's just put action in here just to make time fly by.
Okay. Yeah, I do agree with you. I kind of did love the action in this. There's a lot going on. I feel like I'm playing a Battlefield game. It's just like chaos everywhere. There's stuff, ground troops, you know. There's air units. There's the guys in the tanks. Like, there's a little bit of everything, especially towards that last... that third act where just all kind of like all meets up. I like the fact that the thing I don't like for the struggle is the fact that these stormtroopers still can't shoot shit. At least the white ones, like anybody in a white stormtrooper outfit has like the worst aim possible. I don't think you even see them kill anybody.
I swear to God, if I see a stormtrooper approaching me or a platoon of them, I'm going to make breakfast and then kill them because I have time to do both because they'll miss so much. That's how I feel. But that aside, I will say that the action is definitely more geared towards a Hurt Locker-esque, like dirty, kind of a grimy, not like super dirty, like Hurt Locker, but like that, where it's dirtier, grimier, a little more stakes heavy because you feel the weight of war. And I know we get the first skirmish when we meet Donnie Yen and his partner, and he kicks ass, and they all kick ass, and jokes everywhere. And we get that initial thing where they have to blow up the tanks, right, as they're approaching on the streets. That felt very, I don't know, like any country going through turmoil today kind of thing, right?
For sure. That felt very guerrilla warfare. You know, and they had contingency plans also. They had like two guys died on the way to actually destroy it, and they had like another, like, okay, we know that we still have to take it out, so get in there and, you know, destroy it.
Did you feel the same way, Luke, the war aspect of it? Like, did it intensify for you at all? Make the movie better or different or worse?
Kind of, but the problem is it was very much short-lived. You only had a couple of sequence, a couple minutes of that, and then, you know, Death Star experiment, and we're done. So, yeah, I didn't feel that much of a struggle.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm not saying it was super heavy, or it reminded me of, I don't know, the beaches of Normandy. But I did think it did it a little bit better in that way. I like that little difference. It's like an angle shift. It's not like a complete 180. But especially towards the end, where we see Riz Ahmed's character, the pilot, the transport guy who took the plans originally, or the message, sorry. When he died on his way back, and then some of these people, the way they died, I think it's both like Braveheart-y and also a little and war heavy, you know. So I think they did a good job mixing those two things just enough. It didn't always work, but it made the action kind of fun. And like, you're almost like, man, I want to keep watching everything that's going on, even though everyone's dying. But everyone does die. And we'll get to that point in a second. What do we think of the whole the plans itself? How it all happened? Like, is it satisfying for us as Star Wars geeks? I know I'm not a geek, but I've seen them all, so I'm clearly a fan. What do we think?
Okay.
Luke, go ahead.
I thought Ralph was going to say something.
I know, you both were waiting for each other, so I'm asking Luke now.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got nothing. Go, Ralph.
Okay, so, wait, do you ask the question as in, like, fandom-wise? Like, what do I feel about...
No, not fandom-wise, just like the way they retroactively took stuff back. Stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't have any problems with it, really. I just got absorbed. The movie did a good job for me absorbing into stuff like that. I enjoyed a lot of the... What's it called? I enjoyed a lot of the callbacks, or call forwards, technically. If that's what you're asking.
Well, like we said earlier, it does. The movie leads directly into A New Hope. Do we feel like it does it justice? You know, does it make those films better, worse? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the... Because this is... I know that a movie should stand on its own. And this movie... None of these movies have ever stood on their own, except for A New Hope. And now this one kind of makes it a whole circle, so I don't even know what movie stands on its own. Like, but none of them do, is my point. Very few movies in sequels or in movies with franchises attached to them, like, they can be watched one at a time and viewed that way. You can't value them that way. These are sequels. They're painfully, you know, shoved down our throats kind of sequels, because they are. This is a prequel. Does it? How does it stand with, not with the rest of them, but does it amplify or intensify your love for the other films, or does it make it worse? Because this movie could be amazing and make those films less, right? Less valuable, also. It doesn't have to make it more. How do we feel about that? Like, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, I feel that on its own, probably won't stand as good as it is, because, I mean, throughout the whole movie, I'm just like, man, how are they going to pull this off? I'm like, well... Yeah, they are going to pull it off, because obviously I know where this leads to. But
right.
I still had that moment where I'm like, what if they throw a twist in there? What if they live? What if, you know, there was this that what if moment I kept having in my mind when I'm watching this movie. And I kind of respect, like, I've how it goes right into A New Hope. I kind of love that a lot more, how it's literally just like a couple minutes later, I know exactly what's going to happen. After everything goes down.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I feel more of the fact that this movie won't stand on its own, but it benefits. This movie is like, I can show someone who's never seen anything Star Wars A New Hope, and they can know what's going on. I can show this movie to somebody who hasn't seen any of the movies, and I think they'll still be like, okay, I kind of know what's going on. But I don't get a lot of the stuff. And a lot of the stuff is just because it's a fan service for, like, everybody else who's stuck around for, you know, seven other movies. There's a lot of, like, little plugs in here and there's and stuff like that that you're, like, anticipating. And it just kind of, like, wouldn't work for a regular audience member who's going to see – although there's probably no regular audience member for this kind of movie because most people have seen something of Star Wars.
Right.
But if you haven't, you're probably not watching this movie anyway. So, but I think it adds on. I don't think it takes away from episode 4. I think it adds on to episode 4. So for me, it actually kind of just feels pretty cool. I would like to actually rewatch Rogue One and then episode 4 right after just to see how I feel about the whole thing. It might take away from episode 5 and 6 just because of the fact that I would say probably 4. And 4 is just such a good movie. And all the stuff that happens in between, and I don't know, I might just like belittle it a little bit more, but not by much.
Gotcha. Right on. Well, I want to talk about two more things. One that is, I think, a negative aspect, not a huge one, but a potential huge one. And the other is a positive one. Let's go with negative first. What do we think of the computer graphically input, you know, there were people, the starfighters that were at the end battle that were from the originals, they're all dead now. Well, not all of them, but some of them are.
Gold Eater, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
They're dead now.
But what's the bad guy's name? The old guy, whatever. I'm bad with names. Luke, do you know who I'm talking about? The guy who they CG'd?
I don't know what his name is, but I know who you're talking about.
Right. Well, that actor, that British actor, who was, you know, pretty highly regarded back in England. I mean, not back in England, but back when in his heyday in England. He died in the 90s. But they used his recreation and to put him into the movie. How do we feel about that?
Right,
because I don't think they fooled me at all. And if anything, it kind of took me out of the movie.
I think his name was Governor Tarkin.
There you go. That's right. That sounds right.
Yeah, and he... Yeah, I mean, I read up on it, and apparently, you know, they got permission from, like, the estate to do this, so, and I felt like he would have had to have been there on the Death Star in order to make sure, you know, it was going to follow through. If not, what, it was going to be just, like, a shitty line of dialogue that would just throw away, oh, he's not here yet, maybe when he gets here, everything will be up and running or something, you know?
Oh, no, no, I get that he's important, I just, like, why not recast him? They recasted Dumbledore.
I'm going to go with the fact that I agree with both of you guys. Actually takes me out of the movie. I did not like that at all. I did struggle with it when I was watching the movie. And then afterwards, I just like, no, didn't work. But what I will say is that they could have just easily made a hologram. And he's communicating with them through hologram. You know, use the same voice, make him look like who he is in a digital form, and we wouldn't have had a problem with that because, oh, it's just a hologram. It's okay he looks like that, you know, and you would have gotten away with that. I just think they showed him too much. So, yeah, and then if it was like that one time, maybe I would have forgave it, but it was more than that one time. So I don't forgive it, and especially with the reveal of Leia also at the end with, yeah, just also a little bit more unforgiving. That's me, though.
And with the addition of the sad news that Carrie Fisher died, obviously she's going to be... They're going to do the same probably treatment to her in the following films, right?
Well, they did say they just finished episode 8, so I don't know what they're going to do with her in episode 8, so...
Well, but I'm saying in the future, if we're getting one a year, I mean, eventually they're going to have to probably do this, unless they're going to write it off, which I hope they do. Or they cast her as somebody else. I mean, that's one of those two options. There's been tons of other examples where it's worked. Not all of them. But a lot of them have been, and these guys have the money and the talented people to make it work. Not on a computer generated way, you know. That's how I feel. But I know that it's there, and we can't get rid of it, and we kind of have to suck it up. And obviously, it's not terrible, but it did take me out of the movie. Last but not least, guys, Darth Vader.
Yeah,
boss.
Motherfucking
okay, so
boss.
I'm very biased with this Vader. So it's still the same voice, right? I'm pretty sure it's a different guy in the suit because that guy was old. But I fucking love that last scene, and I'm what's called a little bit more biased because of the comics for me. Seeing comics, comic Vader is like completely kind of different from what the Vader you're used to in the original trilogy. He's not as, like, you know, I guess gung-ho with his lightsaber and the Force also. But seeing him in this one and how he acted made me think of Vader in the comics, which I love him in the comics, and just seeing how badass he can be. That's fucking... I loved everything about that. I thought it was a great surprise, especially just... We know 30 minutes later or an hour later or whatever, they're going to catch up to the ship and it's episode 4 starts. So, like, you know, he has cool, calm, cool, collected thoughts later. He's a cool character. So.
Luke?
Yes. I loved Vader. I don't know. I feel like, and I never really read the comics or anything, seen out of context, but, you know, he's Vader. He's got a job. He's got to get it done, and that's the way he is.
That's the same thing, same way that he was portrayed in the comics, is the is a very, very resourceful, on top of being this amazing fighter and attuned with the Force guy. Like, on top of that, he's also like the Batman of the galaxy. He's so resourceful and detective-y. He can do anything. He feels like he can do anything. I badly want his standalone movie. I badly want it now. So I would say that the greatest thing I took away from this movie, as far as future renditions of it, because I know none of these characters will come back, because, you know, they're all dead, is that that Darth Vader is made to look very menacing in a convincing way, unlike the prequels or the past movies. And it's such a cool thing to watch. It's the coolest ending. It's just such a good thing. I'm with you guys on that. It made the movie feel like 10 times better at the end because of that feeling you get, or that I got.
Exactly.
Anything else you guys want to add on Star Wars Rogue One?
I wish there was a theater close to me right now so I could go see it again.
Nice.
Yeah, I want to rewatch it. I really do. I might, like, AMC's offering me, like, free points if I go see it on IMAX, and I might just pull the trigger and watch it on IMAX. So I don't know. But I really enjoyed it. I think I enjoyed it more than Episode 7. Just because it's, you know, everything beforehand. And you see how actually the scale of the Rebels also, how actually more, you know, they weren't as organized or as, like, focused as they were in the original trilogy. You see these guys who are just like, we really don't know what to do until we get this amazing, you know, like, okay, hey, we know how to attack them back, you know? And that's the movie does just a great job for that. So, I really enjoyed the movie. Minus lackluster parts with character building.
Minus key things in movies. No, I'm kidding. I really liked it, too. It was a really fun ride and sometimes emotional, like one point. I'm talking about the beach scene ending, which is really cool. Makes the Death Star, like, destroying cities, like, more beautiful than destroying planets because it looks like a beautiful nuclear explosion in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Is that weird to say? But it's true. Yeah, that aside, I do prefer it more than last year's because last year's felt like a retread, a huge retread of New Hope and all those movies, really. So, but this one at least doesn't feel like that, so I feel like that feeling overwhelms the other. Even though I like Rey and Finn and Poe way better than any person in this movie. I'm conflicted, guys. But I'm enjoying this new run, guys. Disney is taking over the world, in my opinion, and they're successfully doing it with our hearts and minds. Ralph, do you have anything last thing to say anymore? Oh, was that your last thing already?
Awesome.
Luke, yeah, you're done too, right? You good? Or you have anything else?
Nope. I just love it.
10 degrees up.
No.
Are you sure this is the way?
They have landing trackers. They have patrol squadrons. You've got to stay in the canyon. Keep it low.
There's a 26% chance of failure.
How much farther? I don't know, I'm not sure. I never really come this way. We're close, I know that.
Well, now there's a 35% chance of failure.
I don't want to know, thank you.
I understand.
Now, put it down now.
The wind.
If you keep going, you'll be right over the shuttle depot. Watch out! Hey!
Sweet, so that is our bonus episode, and you have been listening to another movie podcast. Please send us feedback to podmoviecast@gmail.com and check out our website, otherpodcast.com, for all the bonus episodes we've done, we will be doing, and for next month in January, we'll be doing Martin Scorsese's Silence, So hopefully you stick around and help us out to get that out for you. That'll be amazing. We would love to do that. If not, if you can't, please sending us an iTunes rating or any rating of any sort from your podcast catcher of your choice would just give us so much good karma our way. It would be amazing. Last but not least, I'll give you guys my Twitter and all our Twitters. It's for me, it's Armin Filmmaker. That's Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Luke?
I'm going to be at Blind Noir.
And I am at Gamer Ralph. That's with two R's and an F.
You can also use Armin Filmmaker on Letterboxd to follow my movie-watching habits. And that's it for the bonus, guys. Until then, I'm Oscar.
And Luke.
And Ralph.
See you later.
Will you quit it?
What?
Trying to swim here. What, the ocean isn't big enough for you or something like that?
Huh?
You got a problem, buddy? Huh? Huh? Do you?